Oh, baby, don't you love a technical difficulty? Homer will be back with us in about 15 minutes. A little technical difficulty over at Magoo's on the Mound, but we will rejoin Homer shortly about which stroke pinch hitting for the time being. As this program brought to you by our friends at Surfside. 100 calories, zero bubbles. Homer at Magoo's on the Mound leading up the first pitch between the Brewers and the Cubs. Game 3 of the National League Divisional Series. Brewers looking for that sweep here against the rival in the NLDS. And nobody better to talk to about it than Mr. 755 himself. Jerry Augustine joins us now on a special edition of the Homer Hour. Mr. 755, it is game 3. The Brewers are looking for the sweep. How are you feeling, Jerry Augustine?
I'm doing great, Alex. It's just what a beautiful day for baseball. The weather's going to be perfect. You're under a little bit different scenario than you are at American Family Field, but the fans are going to be excited for the Chicago Cubs, but the Brewers are playing so well. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great day.
The way they have responded to early deficits when they didn't even have the opportunity to bat yet is what is so impressive. This team goes down in the top of the first inning each of the first two games of the series, and it's no sweat off anybody's back, Jerry. I mean, they just find a way to respond, which is why I think they have earned that nickname, the best team in baseball.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, this team has done such a good job, and I think if you would talk to Craig Counsell, his number one wish right now is to keep the Brewers off the board a little while. You know, break the game down, but in different segments. You know, sometimes we used to say we break it down in inning segments or every three inning segments, but I think it's going to go by every batter segments with this club today. They got to make sure that they keep the Brewers in order. They've been swinging the bat so well. When you look at what this team has done in the first couple games, it's been just really, really special. So it's going to be a great game. I think the Brewers are ready to play. They're a team that plays 27 outs, and that's exactly what they'll do today.
No doubt about that, and that's what they've proven through two games, two victories here in the NLDS. Jerry Augustine with me, Alex Strofe here on a special edition of the Homer Hour leading up to first pitch between the Brewers and the Cubs here, Game 3 of the NLDS. I do want to talk about Game 3 and things we can expect there, Jerry, but before we get there, I do just want to get your opinion on what we saw in Game 2 from Jacob Mizorowski. It's a guy we talked about for a month. Should he be, should he not be on the roster in the postseason? He was on the roster, and boy, was he magnificent in Game 2, pitching three innings, the energy, the speed on his pitches, which we've been impressed by since he was in Double A, I feel like. But he was, what an impressive response after the commentary of should he be or should he not be in Game 2 by Jacob Mizorowski.
Well, I think when you're making a decision, I know a lot of people are saying, is he good enough? And it was a tough one. It's a tough one for anybody. Anybody who knows the game of baseball said, you know, coming out of bullpen is a lot different than starting. I think what happened early in the season has a lot to do why they kept him on. And number one, if you remember his first few starts, he was able to back off a little bit and make some good adjustments, come back and pitch really well. 11 hits with only his first base hit. And then when he went to the All-Star game, you can't get a bigger scenario than going to an All-Star game and pitching an inning like he did. But I think he ran into some problems, and the issues were more, I think, in his delivery. I think he got out and just lost himself a little bit. And every pitcher pitches what they call pace and rhythm. They have a certain style that they have, and the pace that they throw and the rhythm that they have really dictates how your delivery is going to be, how you're going to execute pitches, how you're going to have a good release point. And I think he got out of whack a little bit. And even in that first inning when he came in against the Cubs the other day, that first inning was kind of a shaky inning in mm-hmm. that he wasn't locating the ball exactly where he wanted. But I thought he did a great job by locating a good fastball down in the zone, and then he could explode his fastball up in his zone. We saw 102, 103, 104, and it was just very aggressive in the strikes on that first hitter. And I think that's what really got him going to getting through that first inning, having to make some adjustments, really helped him as he went along. And then after he got through that first inning, he started using his secondary pitches, and he started throwing strikes with his secondary pitches. And that you got to give credit to William Contreras. He did a great job of getting him to throw that breaking ball in that secondary pitches in the second two innings. He did a great job.
I know you're an energetic guy, Jerry. You're from Kewaunee. Everybody's energetic from Kewaunee. But have you ever seen what a celebration and what a moment it was for Miz when that bouncer came back to him? He runs to the bag and gets that third and final out, and then he flexes at the eruptive crowd in AmFam Field. What did you think of that moment and that display of emotion from the rookie?
I think any time a young man can go out in the game and pitch in the caliber that he's doing and come and all the attention that's given to him, let Miz be Miz. That's what he is. He's an emotional guy. He's energetic. When you talk to him and you interview him, he's the same way. He's energetic. He loves the game of baseball. And you got to understand that when they brought him up, they didn't take him to court in between starts and say, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to change this, you got to change that. They came up, and what Jim Henderson and Chris Hook said, we're going to leave this kid pitch. We're going to let him go out and experience it, see what he does good and see what he does bad, see how he makes the adjustments. And then once the year's over, we can take him in the science lab, we can take him to Arizona, and we can make some adjustments. And I think it's a combination of a young man who's just so excited to accomplish what he's accomplished. And I love every minute of it. I think for a young man to be excited for what he does and what he does well, I think that's a compliment to him and going out and pitching the way he is. And I'll tell you what, coming out the other night, pitching those three innings was huge for the Brewers.
You can hear the excitement of Jerry Augustine's voice, who's joining us here on the Homer Hour as we lead you up to game three of the NLDS between the Cubs and the Brewers. Let's stay with pitchers. It's Quinn Priester today, Augie. And that guy had maybe a little bit of coincidence, but also maybe a little bit of luck, but also some damn good pitching. 19 games he appeared in a row. The Brewers won. He lost the last one he appeared in at the end of the season, but 19 in a row during the regular season. He will take the bump for the Brewers' first road test today. What are you looking for from Quinn Priester, one of the pleasant surprises of this 2025 season?
I think you just said it. You said coincidence.
Ah!
And, he did, and, here's a guy who came in, and when he came over in trade, they didn't know exactly how they were going to use him, where they were going to send him to the minors, what they were going to do to him. And he's a kid that, he was a sinker ball pitcher. He's a guy who really could pound the ball down in the zone. He had a ground ball rate that was so special. And I think anytime you see him pitch a game, he never worries about strikeouts. He worries about the ground balls he gets because he knows it's a ground ball. He's going to put it in play. He's got a great defense behind him. I think this young man has made some of the great adjustments of a pitcher during the games that he's pitched as any young pitcher that we've had on the Brewer Club all year. And he's made those adjustments by taking his secondary pitches, that cutter he has, as nasty as breaking ball, a little bit of a changeup, and he's able to locate him. So he can start off a game and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to throw my fastball. I'm going to locate my fastball. I'm going to go to my breaking ball. If it's not there, I can still go to the sinker and get ground balls. And making those adjustments and understanding those adjustments during the season has really made a difference. There was a lot of times early in the season when you see him come out of a game and he pitched maybe three innings or four innings or five innings. Where would he be? He'd be right with Hookie. Hookie and Chris Hook in there. And what would they be doing? Talking about driving to the plate, staying close, getting on top of the ball, locating your pitches, having that good release point. And it's really paid off, Quinn. He's in a home field. He loves Chicago. Mm-hmm. What a great thing for the Brewers. At first, I questioned why he wasn't pitching game two.
Agreed.
But now with all the story of game three, this is so special. What a great side story for the game of baseball.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah, I think we all went into game two going, okay, Ashby's going to start. We'll see how it goes. They can go to Priester if it gets dicey. And then they didn't. And Miz, who we just talked about, was as good as he was. And that was allowed them to set up appearances by Koenig and Uribe and McGill. And ultimately, they didn't need to tap into Priester. They didn't need to tap into Jose Quintana, who maybe we could see today. I doubt it, depending on how well Priester pitches. A couple of tweaks to the lineup today, Jerry. Curious on your opinion on those. Before we get to the actual changes, I want to talk about the top of the order. Yelich is going to lead off today. Churio going to bat second. What are your thoughts on that, as Churio has been so good in leadoff, despite the little injury in the first two games? He's going to bat second. Yelich going to lead off for the crew. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think when we look at this lineup with Yelich leading off and Churio batting second and you get Contreras coming down the line a little bit, you got to think of the three main guys with the Milwaukee Brewers that have been there for this series. You take Churio, you take Contreras, and you take Yelich. They are 13 for 24 with 7 runs scored and 8 RBIs. when you look at the runs scored, the RBIs, and what those three guys have done in the beginning of the order, and you put Turang in there, who you know is always dangerous and one of the better hitters in all of baseball, I think when you go up against a guy like Tyone, you got to have a guy leading off that's from the left side. And what Yelich has been, he's been putting good at-bats. He's hitting the ball hard. He's 4-for-8 right now. He's getting on base. He's scoring runs. And I think when you do that and you have Chirio in the position that he is, boy, it really sets him up for some things positive. I like what they have done with that top of the order, especially going to a right-hand pitcher in Wrigley Field.
9 runs in the first inning through 2 games in this series. That's what the Brewers have been able to put together offensively. We'll see what they're able to do against Jameson Taillon. The other changes, Jerry, is we will not see Andrew Vaughn, at least to start at first base. It'll be Jake Bowers that gets the go there. And no Blake Perkins in center field. We will see Brandon Lockridge in center field. Those guys hitting 7th and 8th, respectively, in the lineup today. What do you make of those two decisions? Jake Bowers at first, Brandon Lockridge in center field.
Well, you look at Jake Bowers, I think Jake Bowers has been swinging the bat as good as anybody on that ball club. When you look at the power he's coming, whether he's pinch hitting or playing first, he's put the ball in play. He's an excellent fielder at first base. So defensive, there's no difference in any defense. In fact, maybe he might even be a little bit better than Vaughn at first base. So I like him in the lineup because he just adds an element from the left side of the bat when you need him in that part of the order to drive in runs. He can do that, and he has been doing. He's been swinging the bat, hitting some home runs, hitting with power, hitting the ball to all fields. I really like that. As far as Lockridge, when Lockridge was with the Brewers, if you remember when he was with the Brewers, I think his AB batting average against left-handers was really, really good. Here's a kid that can play anywhere in the outfield. He runs as good as anybody. He's very, very quick. He's a great defender, and he can swing. He's swinging the bat against good. He's swinging the bat good at the plate. He's hit the not only left-handers but right-handers. He's given good at-bats. He's using the whole field. It's not a power thing. It's about having good at-bats and putting the ball in play. And I think Lockridge has done that. I think he warrants that. He did a great job for the Brewers. Not only that, he went down to the minors. They sent him down. He continued that good offensive strength that he did have, and he played excellent defense. So you don't go wrong. You don't go wrong at putting a Lockridge in the ball game.
So I see somebody on YouTube chiming in, Jerry. You know, it's a weird lineup after a day off, but I trust in Pat Murphy. And when I saw this lineup, it reminded me of a game. I was out with a buddy at a bar. It was a Friday night, August 1st. It was actually the day that game was on Apple TV. That's why I had to go out to a bar to watch it. It was the night that Pocket Pancakes were born. And I remember looking at that one. Brandon Lockridge was leading off, and you had Danny Jansen catching and Monasterio playing second base. We kind of just thought, okay, this is kind of a weird lineup after a day off. They scored 16 runs that night, and Pocket Pancakes were born. You know, I think back to that one, and I go, I don't know if I agree with what Pat's doing with the lineup. I think Pat Murphy deserves every shred of the benefit of the doubt when it comes to building out a lineup in a game that the Brewers are looking to win.
Well, I think when you look at this Brewer organization, and I think it talks about being a good teammate. And, you know, the one thing I always say that they always talk about, there's no I in team. There is not an I in team.
There's not.
But there's an M and an E. And if you don't have the M and E, you can't make the team. So I think when you look at it, this ball club does not worry about who, what, when, and where. It's about going out and doing your job the best to your abilities. And I think that's one thing that's a real credit to Murph. I think the one thing he does, he allows his coaches to coach. When you see what Chris Hook and Henderson have done with the pitchers, you see what Erickson has done with the infielders, as great a job he has, what he has done. It's those guys. And what he does, he controls it. He's the leader. He's the guy that kind of go. You talk to him about decision, he'll help you make that decision. So you got to give credit to Murph because he has that great ability of putting the right people in the right places. And when you do that and they're successful, boy, that pays off big.
And we talk all the time, Jerry Augustine with us here on a special edition of the Home Run. We talk all the time about Pat Murphy and how he's a player's manager, right? He has a great rapport with those guys. You can tell in his press conferences how he jokes around with them. You know, the other day when he announced Ashby would be the starter, he goes, I don't even know his first name. I think it's Aaron, right? He's joking around with these guys. But something I don't know if Pat Murphy gets enough credit for, Jerry, is his ability to maximize, which you were just talking about. You know, you've got this group of misfits, and they win 97 games in the regular season. And to what you just alluded to, putting guys in the right spots to succeed, it's truly something I don't think you could ever give Pat Murphy enough credit for, is his ability to maximize the guys on his squad and lead them to where they are now, a 2-0 lead entering game 3 of the NLDS.
Not a lot of people know about it, but and I really have come up that much. Pat Murphy is the youngest manager in NC2A history, to reach 500 wins.
Wow.
That's something big. And he was at, I just missed him when he was at Notre Dame. Then that year he went over to Arizona State. One of the neatest things that ever happened in getting to know Murph. I know Murph, just because college coaching and all that stuff, is I got to do sidelines for the Brewers in Arizona. And that was when Hader came up and they had a lot of things going on. And when you do sidelines, you sit in Arizona, you sit right next to the bench. You're right almost sitting on the bench. Murph saw me sitting there going, came over and said, Augie, what are you doing here? I said, they got me doing sidelines. He sat by me for all 3 games, and I have never, for 3 games, I didn't even want to do sidelines. I just wanted to talk to Murph. Because we were talking about baseball and the game of baseball and how it is the difference in college baseball and professional baseball. But there isn't a difference. They're still human beings, and you got to treat them that way. And it was, he said, you know what? He learned so much from Craig Counsell, but he said he hopes Craig learns something from him too. And I had so much fun. I learned more about baseball in those 3 days than I probably have in my whole career. And just talking just person to person about the great things about the game of baseball. And that's right then I saw when they hired Murph, I said, you know what? This is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, that's a great story, Jerry. Thanks for sharing that, because I think you're right. The dude rocks, and he's shown us through this first 2 years of his head managerial career with the Brewers. He has just done an unbelievable job. Spending a couple more minutes with the doctor of pitching, Mr. 755, Jerry Augustine, here on a special edition of the Homer Hour. So we talked about Quinn Priester. What do you need to see out of him today? What would you like to see out of him today is probably the way I should phrase that, Augie, Brewers look to get the clean sweep.
Yeah. It's kind of tough. I think the excitement of him and his seeing how his approach is, how he's going to pitch with his pace and rhythm, is he going to be out of zone? Is he going to be overthrowing it? It's very common for a young pitcher to get out there in a game like this. The excitement that goes with it. There's some nerves. There's butterflies in his stomach. They're all there. We all know that. But I think the nerves part, and see how he goes out and see how he is with his pace and rhythm. Does he have good rhythm? Is he locating his pitches? Does he have his breaking ball? And then can he make the adjustments early? I think that's what we have to do. Getting ahead hitters, not getting behind in hitters, is going to be huge for him early in the ball game. And if he gets ahead and he's using his breaking ball really well, I'm going to tell you what, you know the sinker is going to be, he's going to get ground balls. That's the 2 things I'm going to look for him to have. Early on the game, does he have that good pace and rhythm? Is he good and relaxed? Is he throwing strikes?
And I guess it's dependent on how the game plays out, but anybody you expect maybe in long relief, I know they haven't tapped into Chad Patrick yet. That could be a name. Jose Quintana, depending on the game. Are either of those guys on your radar for today, or are you kind of just waiting to see how the game plays out?
I don't know about Aaron Ashby today. You know, that guy likes to throw every day. He don't care if he throws 100
That's
pitches
true.
Or none.
That's true.
You know, he's a guy you can get. I think Nick Mears will still be your closer for the starter. He's done that all year long. I think when you look in the bullpen, you're going to have the three-headed monster of Koenig, Uribe, and McGill. But look for today, Chad Patrick went out, and he really threw the ball well. They may give Miz another day off, but Chad Patrick really was aggressive in the strike zone, and I'm really interested in seeing Rob Gasser get in the game. That guy is a different,
yeah.
He's a different style. He's a little Josh Hader location on his arm angle, and he's throwing the ball very well. So I think they got, and Grant Anderson, I think they got some options, but it'll just see how the game flows. And if he gets deeper in the game, you'll see Nick Mears anywhere from the 4th inning on. But I would say that if something happens early and they have to go to somebody early, I would look like maybe a Rob Gasser or a Chad Patrick would be the 2 guys that I would be kind of looking at, that, or a Grant Anderson, just depending on the flow of the game and how the game is going.
Yeah, to eat innings, which is something Aaron Civale did in game one out of the bullpen.
Well.
He did pitch well for them, but it's just the irony isn't lost on me, Jerry. Aaron Civale asked for a trade out of Milwaukee because he didn't want to pitch out of the bullpen, and then there he is in game one against the Brewers, eating up some very crucial innings for Craig Counsell's team. The irony just wasn't lost on me there.
You know, I to be honest with you, I'm a pitcher, and I understand what he wants. And
of course.
I think anybody in Milwaukee understood, and I know a lot of things are said, but he wants that opportunity. He loves the game. He wants to play longer. He wanted an opportunity. He knew that he'd probably have to go to bullpen. How would he be used? Would he be a part of the ball club? And I think he just made a career decision there. And, he went in against the Brewers. He pitched well. I thought Colin Ray threw the ball really well.
Yeah,
I am really surprised that he hasn't started a game, because I was talking to the guys from Pat Hughes and the guys from Chicago, and they said his last three starts, he had been throwing the ball as good as anybody. So that kind of, what they did there, they make the moves to try to win ball games, but you have two guys right there that were former Brewers that came and pitched the ball really well. It was really nice to see that.
Last thing for you, Jerry. Jameson Taillon, you mentioned him earlier. He goes for the Cubs. How did the Brewers get after him early and often? They've had success, as you mentioned.
Yeah, he's all location. He's a location guy. He's the guy you're going to know right from the beginning. He's got a good breaking ball. He's got a good off-speed stuff. If he's locating his pitches, that's what we're going to go early. And if he's going ball one, if he goes deep into counts, and now I'm going to say deep in count, staying away from three ball counts. That pitcher that goes in and goes deeper into counts, goes to three ball counts, usually they catch up to those foul pitchers.
Yeah.
Let's see what they do. And I think the same thing with Quinn. I think the same thing with Taillon. If they can stay away from three ball counts, putting the ball in play and having some success, I think that's going to dictate the game.
Okay, I'm up against it, Jerry, but I want you to repeat a stat you gave me earlier. You said Yelich, Churio, and Contreras combined are what against Taillon?
Here's what I got. I got 13 for 24 with 8 RBIs, and I think it's right around 6 or 7 runs scored. 5 for 7, 4 for 9, and 4 for 8.
I'm no mathematician, man. I went to Denmark High School. We are not very well known for our academics. But I'll tell you, 13 for 24 tells me that's over 50% of the time, Jerry.
You got that. And that's the guys you need, that's what you got. That's why the Brewers are successful.
Jerry Augustine, Mr. 755, the Doctor of Pitching. Appreciate the time as always, my friend. Go Brewers.
All right. Great being with you.
Jerry Augustine's the best, man. You can hear the excitement in his voice as he gets ready for Game 3. We're just over an hour away. Homer is live. Magoo's on the mound. Back at Magoo's on the Mound with our friends from Surfside. He will be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Doug Henry. Remember that name? He's going to join Homer on the other side, live from Magoo's on the Mound, which is presented by our friends at Surfside. It's Brewers-Cubs Game 3. Of the National League Division Series. This series has hit the road off the Wrigley Field. We will see what Quinn Priester does near his hometown at Wrigley Field. Homer, Doug Henry, an hour until first pitch. Coming up next, live from Magoo's on the Mound. It's the Homer Hour, ESPN Wisconsin.